So, and I know, I hope this doesn't seem, these don't seem like redundant questions, but I do want to ask, you know, how everything has affected the community between the shift and even the resurgence, how things have.
The shift, oh, you mean the question about how has a shift away from agriculture affected the community?
Yeah.
I don't think there's been a shift away from agriculture, primarily because agriculture is such a huge part of Zuni culture and a huge part of Zuni religion. It's really just an integral part of Zuni beliefs, that everything from seeds to rain, crops, all these things is part of our beliefs and our culture. So it has always been there, and it's not going to go away as long as Zuni religion is around. However, we can be distracted, as I said before, away from agriculture. And I hope that doesn't happen, because agriculture is one of those few things that can get people totally engaged in the world around them by getting their hands into the soil, by taking care of their seeds, and by watching the weather and paying attention to the weather, and by paying attention to cycles of the moons, things like that. And it begins to create a pattern of life for people by knowing the seasons. And it also teaches people responsibility about caring for their crops. So I think, you know, agriculture is very much a metaphor for life here. So I don't see it shifting away from the way we do things anymore.
I hope I don't seem too redundant, but
no, it's okay.
You know, why is agriculture so important? You really have explained it, but I guess I'd if you want to say anything else about it.
Well, agriculture is important to us because it's the basis of our survival here. And we have always been able to grow our own crops or grow our own food. And we may think of development as creating more jobs and opportunities, and I can see that, and I can understand how that can be considered development. But I think if we consider a longer time scale, that markets may change, that we may make a good fortune in 10 years or 20, 50, or 100 years. But in 100 years or 200 years, markets can shift, and this part of the world may find itself very poor or lacking many things. Many things can happen. Many things I don't even want to think about, but things can really change in many drastic ways. But if we can still grow our own food, that to me is a development that needs to be promoted.
And also land and water, you know, why are they important?
Yes, well, land and water, again, is part of our culture, and it's our life, obviously a part of our survival. If we have the land, and not just any land, but also important farmlands where there are good soils and where there's water nearby, and if there's enough water, hopefully, then we'll always survive. We can always grow our own food. So that those, I think, need to be really protected. And land and water, what I would consider agricultural lands, I think will eventually be the refuge of our people. I think someday agricultural lands will be the place that everyone will not only want to be, but will need to be.
And I don't know if I put this on the in there, but part of this is looking at development and how development is affecting the land, the water, and just culture in general in the state. And have you had, are there issues? I mean, as far as, you know, damming reservoirs seem like a big issue, but are there other things that have have affected the community?
Well, development, of course, was development within our community there, because there's talk about development. There has been talk. I don't know if it's still happening, but people talk about developing a golf course or a large hotel or something large. And then other people then, of course, will say, where are we going to get the water for something like that? So we have competing ideas about development. Of course, as a farmer myself, my argument is always to preserve agricultural lands and make sure there's water always available for farming, to grow our food. But so that happens. We have those discussions or disagreements sometimes locally, but also outside of the reservation of Zuni, development can affect us also, because people that may be drilling into aquifers that draw down springs that are important for us. Even in Arizona, we have lands in Arizona that have been developed to the point that springs and ponds and lakes have dried up. And we need to have those returned to the original state, so that, again, that's part of our long-term survival. So there's definitely development issues out there and competition for water, which comes down to our water rights. You know, so we have to enter into this realm of ownership that is foreign to us. You know, where we often had, I guess what we had was common property that we shared amongst ourselves for thousands of years. But now we're at a time where there's a system or concept of ownership now that people claim things and say, well, we own this and we own that. And so there are people outside of Zuni that claim our water. And so we're just having this never-ending struggle, it seems, to maintain our rights to those waters. So we definitely have competition in terms of development.
Even with the senior water rights, it's still, like, there's still huge issues?
Well, we're still, we haven't finished dealing with our water rights. They haven't been finalized.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah.
Could you tell me some of the names of the reservoirs so that I can research them? And
sure. There's I can give you actually some literature about them. There's a Zuni History newspaper that has all of that in there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very helpful. And one of the questions that I'm asking everyone, actually the question that I'm asking everyone, is about the connection between land and culture, and if you can, you know, if there's something that seems tangible that, so that people who maybe are living in cities and they don't feel that connection to the land, or, you know, is there something that might, to you, come out either from here or in the wider New Mexican culture that shows that connection between land and culture?
The land and our culture, well, our culture is of the land. You know, our culture is completely attached to the land, water, the universe, the sky, clouds, seeds, trees, animals, everything. Our culture is just completely intertwined with that and interwoven. So the land really is like our family. So it's inseparable. The land, the climate, all of it is just really inseparable. I don't know what else to say about that. It's just all part, all together.
And I was wondering if you could describe they used the waffle.
Waffle gardens.
Waffle gardens pre-Europeans coming.
No, we still use waffle gardens.
Okay. Could you kind of describe that just for?
What people refer to waffle gardens, well, people that have come to Zuni and seen gardens here call them waffle gardens. And I think because they look like waffles, like in a waffle iron, or the waffles you get at at a restaurant. But really all they are depressions with little walls around them. Small ones, maybe no larger than a foot square. And seeds are put in there, and then they're watered. So really they're the little depressions with their... They're supposed to have neat walls around them, so that's why they look just like waffles. But the idea of waffle gardens is that they focus and concentrate water into a small area. So it's an efficient way of using water.
And that's so with the rain, like it can, with the rain coming, that might be, or it might be with somebody bringing water.
Waffle gardens are mainly used for irrigating from pots. Or these days, buckets. Okay. Yeah.
And if there's anything else that you'd like to talk about?
If I do, I can probably call you and tell you something over
sure.
the phone. You know.
Sure.
Can I hear this at some
yeah,
point?
Yeah, I'm gonna. Okay. I'll send you a tape of this, or
okay.
not a tape, but a CD
okay.
with the full interview, mm-hmm. and then so I want to get your
email address
or address.
Oh, you have it, I think. Oh,
do
street address, mailing
street
address.
Yeah, mailing address.
Okay.
And then I'll send you that, and then once I have it edited mm-hmm. into the program, then I'll either send you a link where you can listen to it, or mm-hmm. send a CD, just because the CDs
or the other.
I've gotten. Yeah.
yeah.
So I'll do that. That way you can hear it. And if you have any problem with what I've put in, then just tell me, because
yeah.
these are your words. And if mm-hmm. I've gotten something wrong, then
plus
I think
plus I think I might be able to say something a little bit better.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much for the interview.
You're welcome.
Okay. So, could you tell me about the ditches that even pre-Spanish people, if there were ditches?
Zuni has had ditches for a really long time. I know some archaeologists who said that we've had ditches here. We were irrigating from springs at least for something like a little more than 4,000 years that we've had ditches, irrigation ditches. So irrigation... So I was told by some archaeologists, friends of mine, that we've had irrigation ditches for over 4,000 years. So irrigation is nothing... I mean, using irrigation systems or irrigation ditches is nothing new to us. We also have kind of small dams, I should say little dams, little check dams that are built in valley bottoms that are old now again. They're several thousand years old that were used to move water as it during like storm events when it would rain and water would run down the canyons. And so these little dams would move the water around into fields. So those are, yeah, several thousand years old. So we've been using all kinds of, what do they call that, water? We've been using water control structures for thousands of years. So we're pretty good at it.